while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today's sermon is titled All in Sync. And to kick us off, I want to read, I'm just going to share some thoughts, okay? I'm just going to share some thoughts around the Bible text and around this title. Strangely enough, you know, because I pray over the Bible text and I'm like, what? I need a name, I need a title, I need some, and I like to be a little bit creative. I need a title, and then we'll put the synopsis together, and then Babs will do the rota, and then she, you know, my name's in here to preach for this one, and I'm like, what did I have in mind for this again? You know, and so I give God thanks, because I don't sit there trying to manipulate things. So I then had to go and search, you know, the scripture, I had to go back to God. And so I just had some thoughts around what it means to be in sync. The synopsis of the sermon says, first we were enemies, aliens, through sin and evil choices, disconnected from God and his presence, and living as if he did not exist. Now, through the work of Christ, we're not only friends, networked and connected. We're not only plugged in and switched on, we're fully in sync with God and with his power. The text for our sermon is taken from the book of Colossians. And Colossians is a great book. It was written by the Apostle Paul. At the time that Paul is writing this book of Colossians, he's actually in prison. Some of us will know that, I'm sure. And the fact that this guy is in prison, wrongly imprisoned, you know, he's in prison and he's not spending his time in prison moaning and groaning, grumbling and mumbling. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Look at, woe is me. Look at my life. His main focus is Christ. You know, his main focus is still Christ. So this guy is in prison and he writes in many theologians consider one of the most wonderful texts ever written talking about Jesus Christ. And for me, that's faith in action. That's actual faith in action. He wasn't focusing on his circumstance and his situation, focused on Christ. We'll do that another time. That's for another sermon. So he's in prison and he gets visited by someone who's a minister, Epaphras. This pastor, what was his name? Yeah, I've got it written here, but for whatever reason, it just... he gets visited by a pastor, and this guy is the coordinating pastor of the church of Colossae, the Colossian church, the whole church. Paul had never been to Colossae before; he'd never met the Colossians, But this guy comes to visit him in prison, and he tells Paul about the state of the church. He visits him, he says, you know, I'm coordinating the church in Colossae. And Paul says, tell me what's going on with the church. Give me some feedback, give me some information. And after this guy speaks, the things that he says to Paul causes Paul to respond by saying, you know what, I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to give you a letter to go and read to the people of the church. So, for example, to go read to the people of the Church of London, yeah, or Pollard's Hill, for example. Now, there were a lot of good things happening in the church, but there were some things that were not very good. Unfortunately, there were some heresies in the church. Let me ask, does everyone here know what a heresy is? A heresy? If you know what a heresy is, let me see a hand in the air. Okay, maybe 15 hands, 20 hands. A heresy or heresies or heretical behavior is when people hold to beliefs or doctrines or practices that are outside the official beliefs, doctrines, or practices of a faith, any faith, right? There's beliefs, doctrines, and practices. So the heresies of Christianity were people who were doing things outside the principles, doctrines, and practices of Christianity. And so what Paul was seeking to address is the heresies that this pastor had reported to him. He was like, no, I need to deal with this. So if you see what was going on in Colossae at the time for the Colossian church, the secular world was influencing the church in terms of what the church should believe, what the church should teach, how the church should behave. And the Colossian church was listening to the voice of the world instead of holding to the word of God. They were listening to the voice of the world instead of listening to the voice of God. Does that ring any bells with anybody? You know, we're not completely clear. We don't have the specific words that Epaphras, that the pastor said to Paul. We don't have that. What we have is the Colossian letter. So it's because of Paul's response, we can deduce the kinds of things that were said to him. So we have the voice of Paul addressing the heretics. We have the voice of one side, and that gives us a good idea of what was going on. When we read Colossians, not just the chapter or the portion of the chapter that was read today, when we read Colossians, we can see that Colossians talks about the uniqueness of Christ. And some of the heresies that were being dealt with, that were coming up in the church, were about the uniqueness of Christ. And Paul took time to clarify his perspective, his views, an understanding of who Jesus is or was, Jesus Christ. You know, it had been said, in fact, many people say that Colossians, I said, is the most Christ-centered book of the New Testament because of the way Paul writes. So, although this verse is not in our main text today, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says this. He says to the Colossians, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." I think this is a really powerful look at this verse and think about our world, the world in which we live today. Hollow and deceptive philosophy depending on human tradition rather and the principles of this world rather than on Christ. Are we not still seeing those things today? This is a clearly meaningful statement even to us in the 21st century, in 21st century London. The church today is also struggling to believe. The church is struggling to know what to believe, struggling to know what to teach, struggling to know how to act. And I don't just mean PHBC. I don't just mean our beloved Baptist family. I mean all of Christianity. The Church of Jesus Christ is facing this challenge. The world is telling us what to believe. The world is telling us how to teach, what to teach, how to act, what to think. And we're listening increasingly to the voice of the world rather than listening to the voice of God. Too many Christians are listening, taking on the philosophies and ideologies of the world rather than the Word of God. The world is telling us what to believe, and we're not just hearers, we're becoming doers of the world's philosophies. For the last 2,000 years, our mission has been to be a witness for Christ. Our mission has been people who will stand up, stand out, people who will be different, people who will be prophetically countercultural. People who will be non-conformists, to not conform to the patterns of this world, so that we can be in sync with the world, with the Word of God, with God Himself, His will, His way. That's our mission. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, he talked about sharing faith with others. And at the end of his letter, Colossians 4, verses 3 to 5, he says this: "Pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." Saints, let me tell you, the church has for millennia, you know, sought to make the most of opportunities. Our job, our task, our mission is to share the gospel so that we can make disciples for our master. Last week, Pastor Charles Benet was here, our guest pastor. He visited us. He brought not just a word. How many people remember that? He brought a challenge to us. And in case you forgot, I'm going to ask you this, and please believe me when I'm saying this. And I remember, you know, I loved his dynamism. I loved the way he presented. He made us laugh. But he made it clear he wasn't here to play. He wasn't here to play. He made us laugh, but what he was talking about wasn't funny. And I'm absolutely serious about one of the questions that he left us with, and that question hasn't left me. And his question was, the Bible tells us to go and make disciples, and he said, "Where are your disciples? Where are your disciples? How have you fulfilled that command? Who are the people that you can say, this is someone I'm influencing for Christ?" This is someone who I have done something to help them grow stronger in their faith and their belief of who they are in God. Where are your disciples? And I'm asking you that question today because it's a question I'm asking myself. Where are your disciples? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this, saints, is the word of God. This is the word we should be listening to, not the voice of the world, just like the Colossians did. When we read the points that Paul was addressing, we can see what the issues were in that church. In the Colossian community, people were struggling with their theology about Jesus Christ. The world was telling them all sorts of stuff. The world was telling them the church, in fact, the world was telling the church what standards to live by. The world was telling the church what should be right and what should be wrong, what the church should do and what the church shouldn't do. The world was telling the church that some things are radical. And because when the church, don't be so radical. Why are you being radical? Because radical means, radical thinking. And radical thinking is bad, isn't it? And things that are bad don't sit well with faith. So the church was being told, that's too radical. Relax, chill. That's not faith. You're being radical. You're being extreme. You're an extremist. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul addressed the point that the world was telling the church that Jesus Christ was nothing but a man. He's just a man. He was just a teacher. He was just a prophet. And Paul addresses that. He says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's not just a man. Colossians 1, 19 and 20, Paul addressed the point that the world was telling the Colossians that Christ had no authority over them. No authority whatsoever, and people are not saved through Christ. And so Paul had to address that, telling them that, we're reconciled to him in all things. In John's gospel, Jesus told us, he said these words. He says, I am the way. He said those words, I am the way. And he says, no one comes to the Father through me. You remember those words? John 14, 6. Now, on the face of it, by the standards we've come to understand in our world, when you look at a statement like this, it seems rather extreme, doesn't it? It's a bit like, I suppose, to a degree, almost arrogant. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, what, one person, the only way? One person, the only way? Come on, really? I mean, how? How is that fair? How? How is that nice? It sounds closed-minded, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It sounds radical. It sounds extreme. And it is. It is extreme. It is radical. It is closed-minded, saints. Why are we trying to conform to what the world says we should be? Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who told us that the word of God or the standards of the word of God are meant to be nice? Who told us the standards of God are meant to be open to all choices and all actions, open to all behaviors? PHBC family, it is what it is. It is what it is. There are standards we're meant to conform to, because if there are no standards, what's the point? What's the point? It's all fake. Actually, what's the alternative? Think about this. Think about this text. What if this statement was not true? Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to God the Father except through me. He's saying he's the only way. By all standards, we know that. Looking at that, if we reject this verse, if we don't accept this statement from Jesus, we're basically saying Jesus lied. We're basically saying Jesus is a liar. If he said it, it's either true or false. Isn't it? It's binary. It's a one or a zero. It's an off and or a on. Jesus says he's the only way. He's either the only way or he's a liar. And if he lied, then all this is a lie. All because he lied. How many of us here want to say that Jesus lied? How many of us want to say Jesus lied? That he lied to his disciples, that he lied to the world, that he lied to the Christian church, that he lied to the Baptist church, that he lied to PHBC. How many of us want to say Jesus lied to you? Well, I don't want to say that. I can't say that. I won't say that because he did not lie to me. Amen.
Amen.
But the world says something different. The world says that statement is not true. The world says Jesus is not the only way. The ways of the world will see us disconnected from that verse, disconnected from that statement, disconnected from the truth. The ways of the world says Jesus is not the only way. You see, the world was speaking to the Colossians, and the world is still speaking to us today. And just as it was with the Colossians, the church is listening to the voice of the world. And you know, honestly, it's not that hard to listen to the voice of the world. Because it's everywhere. It's in the media, it's in classrooms, it's in lecture rooms, it's in newspapers, it's in magazines, it's in music. And it all sounds so reasonable, doesn't it? It always sounds reasonable. It's dressed up nicely. It's rarely aggressive. And as far as we know, God is a reasonable God, isn't he? And God isn't aggressive. And when things sound reasonable, it's easy for them to sound like God, like the God of grace that we've come to know. Because God is reasonable, right? The statement of Jesus that he is the only way, how can that be right? How can we connect with that? The world was telling the church and the 21st century church, how is that a politically correct statement? Jesus is the only way. How? How is that politically correct? Jesus cannot be the only way. There are other faiths, and they must have their own validity. So the question then is, did Jesus lie to us? Because in Jesus' day, there were other faiths. When Jesus walked on this earth as a human being, there were other faiths. So was he lying? The answer is no. We cannot say he lied, so we accept Jesus' statements. Now, I want to explain something to you. And this thing I want to explain to you, I want you to listen. I'm going to say this. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. Yes? If you're unsure what I'm saying, and you think, oh, what do you mean by that? Go back online. Go on YouTube later on. Listen to this sermon again. The sermon will also be available on the PHBC website. It'll be available in the PHBC radio app at some point today, this afternoon. Yeah? So you can hear it again. Here it comes. The world tells us all roads lead to God. All roads lead to God. That's what the world says. And I've thought about it really, really carefully. And let me say, I think that statement is true. You're like, what? Yes, I said that. All roads lead to God. Yes, I believe that statement is true. All roads lead to God. However, there's an important point that's missing about that statement. All roads lead to God, yes, in the sense that when we die, every single one of us is going to stand before God, whatever you believe or don't believe, of all faiths and none, as they say, because you have to acknowledge those who have no faith. All faiths and none, we will all stand before God. However, only Jesus Christ brings us before God as one of his children. Only Jesus Christ brings us to the presence of God the Father. Only Christianity can do that. Let me remind you of Jesus' statement. He said, "No one comes to the Father except through him." To the Father, no one is presented, "Father, your child," except through him. And this tells me anybody can come to God as judge. Anybody, through any way, at any time, any belief, any actions, any behavior, good, bad, or indifferent, you will stand before God. You will all come to God. We will all come to God. But only through Christ can we come to God and be received before the Father. Because he qualified. He was very specific in his words. Let me be crystal clear. Let's not be partially connected. Let's not be partially networked, partially in sync with God and His Word. We need to be all in sync with what God has said and what He is saying to us. There is so much that glitters in this world that we are calling gold. So much. We're conforming to patterns that are not of God. Patterns that have a form of godliness, but are not God. You know, I want to address something. I happened to visit some dear, dear, dear friends of ours a while ago. And while we were there, you know, I was visiting with them, you know, sat in the living room and they had the TV on. And when I came in, you know how it is, when the pastor comes to your house, you change the channel, don't you? Yeah. Well, you don't know that? It's in the book of Hezekiah chapter 1, you know, or book of Paul chapter 17, I think. You know. People are thinking, Hezekiah, where's that? No, that was a joke. There's no Hezekiah in the Bible. Stop it. there's no book of Hezekiah anyway. You know what I'm saying. Change the channel. Change the music. Quick. So anyway, I walk into the living room and the husband is there. He's as the wife opens the door, she welcomes me in. As I walk in the living room, he's got the remote in his hand. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, the usual thing. You know, pastor's here, quick. You know, and it was they switched it to YouTube. So we're there, we're talking, we're conversing, we're saying all sorts of stuff. The music's there, you know, Lord, you carry me on your wings and all this sort of stuff. And at a particular point, yeah, some of you know where I'm going. I said, sorry, excuse me, I'm so sorry, forgive me. I know I'm a guest in your home. Can we change what we're listening to, please? And they were like, oh, you don't like this particular artist? It's Christian music. And I said, no, it's not. I said, this is grok. They said, grok? What does that mean? I said, it's AI generated music. It is AI generated. To which the husband was like, really? I said, yes. They were all in shock. The children were like, adult children, like, what? I said, yes. I said, leave it. He changed it. I said, go back to it. Let it play. And it's the, you know, I'm there when I stand in the rain, you cover me. You carry me in my nighttime when I'm alone. And it's the fluffy, you know what I mean, music that talks about the experience of God, but doesn't talk about God. You will never hear the name Jesus. You will never hear, you know, things, you know, the way Christians address God, Almighty God, you know, those phrases you will never, ever, 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 ever hear in the music. And they put it on, and at a particular point, they were like, wow. And it was the line about, oh, you carry me on your wings so I can fly. They were like, I didn't notice that before. And the guy was like, right, I'm taking it out of my saved channels. And I was like, oh my goodness. You know, it's important for us to think about what we're consuming, what we're participating in. Sumi heard something and quoted it to me. I don't know where she heard it. She comes out, I don't know, these people, sometimes, right, you know, particularly as the husband, you know, I'm the man, and I'm the pastor. I wish it was me that came up with these great things, and she'd be like, oh, my husband said, I've quoted her so many times here, you know, I mean, I hope you quote me once in a while, honey. You know, I'm like, come on, man, this is not helping my ego, you know? Anyways, she was, I don't know, listening to something or watching something or reading something, and people were talking about Halloween. And a number of people that were defending it, Christians, talking about Halloween and defending it. And there was a debate between two people or discussion. And this guy, this pastor, very well-known pastor who shall remain nameless, I'm not even going to call his name, who shall remain nameless, was talking about it. And he was saying, no, what? It's just, I mean, it's, you know, All Hallows, it has Christian roots, what's the big deal, da 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 da. And, you know, and then the guy he was talking to said this statement. He said, I've heard what you have said. And my question is, does it sound biblical or is it biblically sound? Saints, there is a difference between something that sounds biblical and something that is biblically sound. Something that has a form of godliness and something that is godliness. That looks good and is good. Something that glitters and gold. There's a very well-known preacher, Anglican preacher, Anglican pastor, vicar, very well-known across the world. J. John, many of you will have heard of him. He put a post on social media last week, and his post says, "Let me explain why I don't agree with Halloween." I'm going to summarize some of that post here now. He says, number one, Halloween deceives us about evil. It's a deception. It creates a cartoon vision of evil as something that is nothing, something that is trivial. Evil is nothing. It's just harmless fun. How can you see it as a threat? But at the same time, all evil is serious. You do not mess with supernatural evil, particularly. To fool around with evil is a fool's game. It is a fool's game. Number two, Halloween distracts us about evil. It presents evil in terms of the obvious and spectacular. Things that proclaim their identity with fangs and claws, with cackles and cloaks. But evil doesn't represent like that. Evil is at its most destructive and seductive when it is silent, when it is subtle. And isn't that the way evil works? Evil doesn't come scary. Evil comes with a nice face. Jesus said that Satan, the enemy, presents himself, you know, as an angel of light. He comes looking good, looking fine, looking fly, looking fresh. The most dangerous evils are not clumsy figures in skeleton outfits knocking on your door. In the real world, the most deadly evil doesn't show up shouting trick or treat. It tiptoes around even in broad daylight. It's there in the opportunity to lie. It's there in the opportunity to gossip. The wickedest evil is there in the opportunity to slander, to steal. The problem with the road to hell is that it never shows us its destination. When we focus on the things that we recognize, the things that are grotesque, what Halloween does, it masks evil with a charming face. Number three, Halloween denies the defeat of evil. In Halloween, supernatural evil is presented as something that's unchallenged, something that we never defeat, something that's victorious. But as a Christian, that is only half of the story, the worst half, the darkest half. The reality is that evil has been defeated at the cross. And one day, the crucified King, Jesus Christ, will return and abolish even the memory of evil forever. And so because of that, he wrote, "I don't celebrate Halloween." You know, one of the saddest things for me is when I hear of people who claim Christ, people who say they are Christians, and people who live who are Christians, born again, baptized, spirit-filled Christians, going on trick-or-treat walks or going to Halloween parties. For me, it is a terrible, terrible, terrible witness of the Christ that they professed publicly. You walked into the waters of baptism and then you walk into a Halloween party with scars on your face. What witness are you to Christ? It illustrates how much compromise is abounding in the church today. And so we see in our text, in the Colossian church, they were also facing a crisis. The world was telling them what to believe, how to act. We're facing that crisis today. The world is telling us what to do. We're not just listening. We're starting to do. The world was telling the Colossian church, Jesus is just a guy. There's nothing special about him. So Paul wrote in the Colossian letter that Jesus was special. He's the firstborn of all creation. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. Over 2,000 years later, the world is still telling us there's nothing special about Jesus. Yet Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Saints, he did not lie to us. He did not lie to his church. He did not lie to the world. And as I said, you know, maybe the world is right when they say all roads lead to God. But when I go to God, I don't want to stand before God the judge. I want to stand at home with my daddy. I am pastor. I serve as a pastor. But when I walk into my home, my children don't look at me and say, "Pastor's here," and change the channel. They say, "Daddy's home. Daddy, come and see what we're playing with." They rejoice at my presence. They rejoice. And if they're out and they come in, "Daddy, we're home," and they'll run upstairs to my study or come straight to where I am. They rejoice at my presence. They're not afraid of what they're doing and thinking, oh my gosh, this isn't right. When I stand before God, I don't want to stand before God the judge. I want to stand before God, my Father, my Daddy, Abba, the one who loves me with a love that cannot end, that cannot cease. I want to be perfectly reconciled to Him. I want to be perfectly in sync with Him. When God looks at me on that day, I don't want Him to see a sinner standing awaiting judgment. I want Him to see one of His children, redeemed by Christ, coming home. I want to stand before God in the way that Paul said in verse 22 of our main text. And he wrote there, "God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation." This is how I want to stand before God. Whilst the rest of the world can go and stand in the presence of God the judge, and I'm very okay with that, I want to go and be all in sync with God the Father.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.